Welcome to Weekly Insights at Winthrop Capital Management, where we discuss recent developments currently shaping the markets and industries in the global economy. Here's your host, Chief Investment Officer Greg Hahn.
Good morning, everyone. So what we thought we would do here is talk a little bit about just kind of what's been in the news, but then hit the small cap and mid cap space. But we want to talk about some earnings issues. Charlie, you got anything that you want to raise?
I mean, it's been a weird week in energy with the coronavirus.
It's been a weird week altogether. Did you guys watch the Grammys last night?
Did not.
I thought Alicia Keys did a great job. She it had a somber tone because of what happened with Kobe. But the whole show was really, really good. Except I got to admit, I don't understand a lot of the music these days. Just don't. So let me start off with just the highlights of what's going on in the economy, and then we'll transition into the equity stuff, Freddie. So this coronavirus, Charlie, that you brought up is really weighing on the market. So we're going to have a tough open this morning. But China's taken some pretty aggressive steps to try to control it. And I think there are 5 cases in the United States now.
Yeah, that's what I saw as well.
So the most recent one's in Arizona. And what I'm reading about it is that it's a pneumonia-like virus that impacts elderly people and young people. But it's mostly elderly people that immune systems are affected in some way. So, but the concern that is it's not only a drag on China's economy, which is already slowing, but it's a drag potentially on global growth. So we saw it hit the airline stocks last week with American Airlines down hard. And that's because travel was lighter during the Lunar New Year for China, which is important. And I've heard that the Chinese government is encouraging people to stay home an extra day just because of the extended New Year and just keeping the virus contained. But it also has an impact here in the United States. So and kind of along with that is this whole thing with the 737. So we saw that they've extended the release to summer, I think, to June. I think what'll happen is they'll start production back up once they see that they have a vision to getting approval. I don't think they're going to wait to get the approval and then start production. But the approval then process that takes into account all the pilot training that needs to get done. So that's weighed a little bit on Boeing stock. And I think Boeing releases earnings on Wednesday. So. And so kind of all of that together has weighed on the transports. So the Dow transports are down off their high, roughly 5%. So they're lagging the broader market. So if you're one of those technical people, then you look at the transports lagging. It's an indication of a potentially slowing economy. So that's something to continue to watch for. And then finally, I would point out that Brexit, which we've talked about endlessly within the organization, will be final on Friday. So the thesis holds that this will see increased capital investment both in the European Union and in the UK as the uncertainty around supply chains and logistics are removed. So the expectation is we'll see an increase in capital investment. We'd love to see Germany put some of their surplus to work in fiscal stimulus. So with that, Freddie, I'm going to turn it over to you to talk about equities.
Thanks, Greg. Just a few more companies to highlight on earnings last week. Johnson & Johnson reported earnings of $1.88 on revenue of $20.74 billion. Their pharma business continued to be the driver with $10.5 billion in revenues, which was a 3.5% increase year over year. They're still facing lawsuits from talc baby powder and the opioid epidemic. But litigation expenses are a lot lower this quarter at $264 million compared to $1.3 billion last year. So the stock was up on the news. Additionally, Netflix reported added 8.8 million subscribers in the fourth quarter, which was in line with what they had last year, and they beat the 7.6 million estimate. They did have a dramatic decrease in the United States and in Canada, adding just 550,000 subscribers versus 1.75 million last year. and due to competitive launches of Disney Plus, Apple TV, and with NBC Universal releasing Peacock and AT&T's HBO Max, this could continue to decline into the upcoming quarters. And finally, interesting to note, Tesla became the first $100 billion publicly listed U.S. car maker, with shares rising to $572, with New Street Research raising their price target to $800. The stock has doubled over the last 3 months, so Musk is in for a pretty big payday. but that's all I had on equities.
Another earning from last week. IBM released for the first time in 18 quarters. Revenue grew year over year. But before you get too excited, most of that was driven by Red Hat, which was an acquisition done last summer. Red Hat revenue grew 24%. So that was really what pushed them over the, they got 0.1% year over year growth. So
that's the big tech play for dividend growth.
Yeah.
Investors is IBM stock, because it's like 3.5% dividend yield.
Yeah, it's above 3%. I mean, it is steady cash flow, but there's just no catalyst for growth.
Oh, it's been death. It's been death in a portfolio. Okay. Let's talk about small cap. So in our models, we generally use a weight between 5 and 12% between small cap and mid cap. And that's been by design. Over the years, we've looked for opportunities to increase it, but we have not because of the lag in just in general performance. And the other thing that we've done over the years is we switched out of active managers into passive ETFs, because the active managers just have consistently lagged the indices. So this is a time where we're reviewing what the exposure looks like. And frankly, guys, I'm a little surprised still that they're lagging. If you look at the trailing 12 months numbers, the S&P 600 has lagged about 13%, and the Russell 2000 has lagged by over 11% the broader market. So it's unusual in a rally to not have small cap take the lead at some point in time. And so I'm curious why that's not happening. And as best as we can tell right now, this kind of sheds some light on a couple issues that are in the capital markets. And one is just the way ETFs, especially large cap ETFs, are dominating flows. And so there's a bias when you put equity basis to work to do it in the S&P 500 and large cap, just because it's been so strong. The other issue is the small caps tend to follow bank lending, so private credit expansion. And so bank lending, if you look at the charts, has been pretty stable since 2011. So it's not an acceleration as much as it is just being stable. And so the other thing that's happened as a part of the whole Fed policy is the more smaller companies can access the high yield market. So if you're accessing the high yield market, the pressure's off bank lending a little bit, so the numbers can get a little bit skewed, I think. But it should have been more of a catalyst, and I wonder if it should have been more of a catalyst to a cause to accelerate. So that's kind of what.
Yeah, and if I could add some thought there, you know, I agree. Normally, it's a little bit of a higher beta asset class, so it should have been up just as much. But if you kind of peel back the layers, you know, we talked about how the S&P earnings were essentially flat, maybe a little bit negative, right, Freddie, last year. But if you look at the S&P 600, the small cap index, earnings were down 10% year over year. Revenue grew 6.5%. So what you're seeing is a substantial margin compression. Mm-hmm. Last year, profit margins of small caps was only 2%, which was a 10-year low. Mm-hmm. Versus S&P profit margins were almost at 9%.
So fundamentals would warrant, what you're saying is the fundamentals are actually holding them back
relative to the S&P.
You know, when you look at the last analysis we did, the middle of last year, was I think it was 25% of the companies in the Russell 2000 were cash flow negative.
Yeah.
25% of the Russell 2000 companies were cash flow negative. So that so from a fundamental standpoint, then this lag is warranted.
And that's what I would say. What it seems is that, you know, costs are more impactful for the small. So healthcare costs going up seems to be impacting small companies a little bit more. Wage pressure, a little bit more of an impact. So just less levers that they can pull to help offset costs.
Yeah, that's a good point. You guys have any thought, Charlie?
Yeah, I ran the numbers relatively recent, and like taking a look from a high yield standpoint, high yield total return in S&P 500 or 400 and 600 were correlated about like 70%. And so a lot of times we're seeing in high yield, especially debt that's coming out is fueled for refinancing and debt reduction to lower the interest expense. And so I think a lot of that is we're seeing these small cap companies, mid cap companies, not really using new debt to like mergers and acquisition or CapEx. And it's really just to improve the their credit profile, which I think probably leads to a little bit less growth there.
Okay. Fred, you got any thoughts on this?
No, I agree with pretty much everything Adam just said, yeah.
All right, so before we switch over to comments on high yield, Butler, what? So they turned it on Friday night against Marquette.
So, of course, this was the one home game that I haven't been to.
I couldn't stay up that late.
And I wasn't even really following along. So, of course, they managed to win. Right. But, yeah, three-game skid. I was getting a little sick and tired of them. So maybe it was a good break that I had, but managed to win in overtime. I think Kamar really had a fantastic game.
I'm telling you, I left at halftime because I just couldn't stay up. But my wife's forever mad at me. But watching Marcus Howard, it was like watching ballet. His amazing how fluid he is at the 3-point line.
And he is the only player on that team.
All right, talk about high yield.
So high yield had a real tough week last week. It widened out about 30 bips, and this would be characterized a lot by the risk-off sentiment with the coronavirus. A weakness in energy was huge as well for the high yield index. And they also had a little bit of technical pressures on increased supply, especially on the lower rated tiers. Despite the 30 bips of widening, we're still only 8 wide of year-end levels. And then trading in what I saw at least is that in the front half of the week, Tuesday and Wednesday, there was a lot of chasing yield. And then for Thursday and Friday, there was a pretty large backtrack in that. Case in point, Netflix 2030, which Adam and I were looking at, rose 1.5 to 104.5. And then by Friday, it got settled down to 103.75, which was where we picked up a small position. Going forward, new issuance is still going to be the focus in high yield. Companies are still taking advantage of low rates to refinance out any near-term or high coupon debt. So I still see primary issuance as probably the most attractive entry point into high yield. Every issuance is getting through the low end of price talk, but we're still seeing off the break tightening immediately about 5-10 bips. That's what I'm seeing in high yield. If I can just add a relatively quick note into just energy in general, commodity prices took a huge hit last week. WTI crude oil fell 7%. Nat gas fell 5%. These are declines have erased any sort of escalation in the Middle East and the signing of the U.S.-China trade deal. This is all related to the coronavirus. I took a look back at 2003 with the SARS epidemic, which it's pretty highly related to. That reduced demand by 260,000 barrels per day when that was in full swing. So if this gets to be that bad, we can expect something the same right there.
So on the just to wrap up on the models before we close this down, is I think what we've talked about is there's room in the equity basis. We moved to a defensive posture at the end of last year. So if any sell-off, there's room to add. And then on any strength, we continue to transition into value play, value strategy, which is lagged. And we view that as safety as well as the low volatility strategies in large cap. We'll hold the position in the small and mid cap right now in the models. We've lightened up on high yield. We'll continue to lighten up given how tight spreads are. And then a real desire to increase international and emerging markets. However, given the slowing growth in China, it's going to weigh on the EM side. So we're holding on that. And then clarity on China and Brexit, but that'll be a catalyst for international. So there's a real desire to try to increase that in the model portfolios, but otherwise just holding steady where we're at. Anything that you guys would add to that as a summary?
No, just watch rates. We're down 20 basis points from the beginning of last week.
The virus flight to quality rally?
Yeah. 10-year is, I think, below 1.7.
Yeah, 1.62.
So these tend to be pretty short-term events in the market. And so for anyone trading the market, this is typically a trading opportunity because once everything stabilizes, it'll normalize. Back, if you're too young to remember the Legionnaires' disease, but that was a Philadelphia conference back in the 80s. And it didn't have an I don't recall it ever having an impact on the market, but it was a weird virus that spread through the United States because of a conference in Philadelphia. All right, you guys, have a great week.
All investments are subject to risk, including the possible loss of the money you invest. The information presented in this podcast is intended for educational purposes only and does not take into consideration your personal circumstances or other factors that may be important in making investment decisions. You may access and download this podcast only for your personal and non-commercial use. You may not use it in any other manner or for any other purpose without Winthrop's written permission. Copyright 2020, Winthrop Capital Management, LLC. All rights reserved.